Howdy, folks. It's the Colonel, and here we are with Nothing But The Blues. Thanks for tuning in. You can hear Nothing But The Blues in Brisbane on 4ZZZ. You can hear the program all around the country thanks to the Community Radio Network. And, of course, you can listen online anytime you want to. Just do a web search for 4ZZZ, Nothing But The Blues. This is my second last show. After 40 years, I'm hanging up my hat and leaving the building. But I'm leaving the show in good hands. Nothing But The Blues will continue with a new team. Jules and Lynn are in the studio with me at the moment, and I'll introduce them a little bit later on. I thought for my last two shows I'd look back over the years and pick out some favourite items. Now, the theme song for Nothing But The Blues for many years now has been a little instrumental called Spankin', which is played by Dave Blanken, a guitar player from Canberra. But over the years, I have used other bits of theme music. In fact, you heard one at the very start of this week's program, and it's an instrumental version of One Mint Julep by Californian harmonica player Rod Piazza. So we might actually have a listen now to the entire track. So, okay, so that's track one on CD one, Jules. You got that queued up again? Okay, here we go. Rod Piazza with One Mint Julep. Thank you. That's the intro track that I used for many years on Nothing But The Blues. One Mint Julep, recorded by Rod Piazza with Rick Holmstrom on guitar. Very cool indeed. Now, I thought for this program, I'd like to go back to some early interviews of harmonica players. So, blues harmonica fans, you'll be happy, I'm hoping, with this show. Now, in 1993, we had some very impressive blues harmonica players at Blues Fest. So let's see, 93, that would have been the fourth Blues Fest at Byron Bay. Now, at that particular Blues Fest, I was busy working with an ABC film crew who were doing the Blues Moon Over Byron TV series. Some of the older members of the audience will probably remember those terrific TV shows. And my good mate Brett Parker from 101 FM in Logan City got to do an interview with Billy Boy Arnold. Billy Boy Arnold was kind of a second-generation harmonica player. He was a big fan of John Lee Williamson, the original Sonny Boy Williamson, and got to meet him just shortly before his death. Anyway, you'll hear all about that from the man himself. So here is Brett Parker talking to... Oh, hang on. Before we have Brett Parker, we're going to play some music just to refresh your memory. Here's Billy Boy Arnold playing harmonica with his old pal, Bo Diddley, on Bo Diddley's very first record that was a big hit in 1955.
Now, when I was a little boy, at the age of five, something in my pocket, keep a lot of folks alive. Now I'm a man, May 21. You know, baby, we can have a lot of fun. I'm a man, I spell M A. Back the second cousin, Little John the Conqueror. My man, spell him A. Love them, they can't resist. I'm a man, I spell him A.
Parker here, 101 FM, and I'm sitting here with Billy Boy Arnold. He's just been fresh from the last night of the East Coast Blues Festival, the fourth annual festival, and I'd like to welcome you, Billy, to Billy Boy to Australia, and thanks very, very much for your music over the last couple of days.
I'm really glad to be here. I think the people of Australia is very, very beautiful people. Really had a wonderful time.
Have you had a chance to have a little look around our beautiful part of the world?
Yes, I love the broad beach. You know, is that it? It's beautiful. It's like Florida, you know. It's the Florida of Australia.
Fantastic. I believe that you cite Sonny Boy Williamson and John Lee as your first and biggest influences. Is that correct?
That's right, yes.
You met up with Sonny Boy just a few weeks or a few days before he was killed?
About a few weeks before he was murdered, yeah.
It's been a very sad time for the blues people and yourself in general.
Yeah, well, when Sonny Boy died, he left a gap. And the gap wasn't fulfilled until Muddy Waters and Lil Walter came along.
In the 50s, you worked with musicians like Big Bill Brunsey, Little Walter Jacobs, and Junior Wells, and I believe you teamed up with Bo Diddley when he was still a young unknown. Can you tell me about those days of your teens, please?
Well, I never worked with Big Bill Brunsey. I got to know him very well. I met Big Bill when I was 15. I worked on shows with Junior Wells, but not in the same band. The band I worked with was Bo Diddley. I did Bo Diddley's first recording session, which produced his biggest hits, I'm a Man and Bo Diddley.
Great stuff. You're also the vocalist with Earl Hooker's band.
Well, yeah, I went on a tour with Earl Hooker in 1956. We went to Lawton, Oklahoma for 4 weeks. Yeah.
Your 55 smash hit, I Wish You Would, has been covered by a legion of other artists, including white artists like David Bowie. Also, your 56 hit, I Ain't Got You, has been recorded by many others and keeps coming up on the new releases. Do you find this gratifying?
Yes, I do. I think that it says that it's a compliment to me to have these guys record my material.
Your musical career, as far as touring goes, back in the 80s, what are you doing the blues circuit at the moment in the U.S.? What circuit are you doing?
Well, I've been working out in California for the last year. I was at the San Francisco Blues Festival, the Ohio Blues Festival, and the Sacramento Blues Festival. And then I did some club dates in Los Angeles last January.
Have you ever done any work at Antone's in Texas?
No, I've never been to Antone's, but I'm looking forward to going there someday soon.
I hope you get there. I believe it's a great club. I'd love to go over there myself and see it.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot about it, you know, yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your instrument, your harp? What sort of harp are you playing?
Yeah, it's a harmonica, marine band harmonica.
Have you ever tried any others, or you stick with the one type?
Well, I play the chromatic, but the marine band is the harmonica I saw Sonny Boy Williamson with. And that's about the best to play the blues with. The marine band is the best.
Well, it certainly sounds like the best blues we've heard here for a long time on the harp. And another guy who played a bit of harp here too this evening was William Clark. Do you know William in the States at all?
Yes, I do. I met William in Chicago a few years ago. And I think William Clark is the greatest on the harp. He's a phenomenal.
Coming from you, that's a great accolade in Bill's, a feather in Bill's cap, I'd say.
Oh, yeah. To me, I mean, like, he's the greatest I heard since Lil Walter.
No place to go. I got women to the left of me. I got women to the right of me. I got women all around me.
444. I got a mojo. I don't you know? I'm all dressed up and no place to go. I got women to the left of me. I got women to the right of me. I got pretty women all around me. But I ain't got you.
There he is, folks. That's Billy Boy Arnold. And you're listening to Nothing But The Blues. I'm the Colonel, and I'm enjoying myself. This is my second last show after 40 years. I'm giving it all up. Not the blues. I'll never give up the blues, but just giving up talking on the radio. I've got some technical assistance from the people who will be taking over and continuing with Nothing But The Blues. So Jules is twiddling the knobs at the moment. And so couple of interesting facts about Billy Boy Arnold. He's still with us at the age of 83. Billy Boy Arnold was born on the 16th of September 1935. Here's an interesting fact. B.B. King's birthday is the 16th of September 1925. So Billy Boy is exactly 10 years younger than B.B. because B.B.'s no longer with us and Billy Boy is still around. The song you heard was one that he recorded in 1955. He wasn't able to get a contract with Chess Records after playing on Bo Diddley's hit record, so he just went down the road and over to the other side of the street to VJ Records and churned out a couple of good ones for them. So I Ain't Got You recorded in 1955, but that version you just heard was on Billy Boy's comeback album on Alligator Records in 1995, and we talked to him at Blues Fest in 1993. So now Billy Boy said some very nice things about William Clark, and Bill Clark was on the same bill at Blues Fest 93. I did get a chance to interview Bill Clark by phone prior to the festival, and I do apologise for the sound quality, but remember, folks, this was 25 years ago and it was before Skype, so the interview was recorded on a dodgy long-distance telephone line, copper wire and all of that, onto cassette, and the cassette is 25 years old. So bearing all of that in mind, let's have a chat to William Clark.
This is harmonica player William Clark, and you're listening to Nothing But The Blues on 4ZZZ with Mark Doherty and Greg Cuff.
Well, I got started in blues in the mid-1960s here in Los Angeles, and at that time they're mixing a lot of Chicago blues music in with rock music on the Los Angeles radio stations. And through that, I got turned on to people like Muddy Waters, the Howlin' Wolf, Junior Wells, Big Walter Horton. And then I would go out and buy these records. And, boy, it was something I never heard before. And I just fell in love with it. But it wasn't long after that that I started going down to some of the Los Angeles ghetto clubs and listening to music, sitting in every now and then, but mainly just listening, paying attention, and making friends with the blues men down there. And I really couldn't play very good, but they all seen I had a genuine love for the music, so they kind of let me hang around and, you know, and would try to show me things and teach me stuff. But the first big name guy, I guess, was Shaky Jake when I was, I must have been around, well, maybe 17 or 18, and I had never had a real harmonica microphone. And there was a club in Los Angeles that time called the Ash Grove, and a whole lot of real great blues players would be playing in there. And I went down one night to see Charlie Musselwhite, but Shaky Jake was in the lobby, and I went up to him and started up a conversation. I said, Shaky, where can I get one of those static mics? But to my surprise, he said, I got one. If you come by my house tomorrow, I'll give it to you. So he gave me his address, and I went by there the next day and got him out of bed. He came to the door in his underwear, and he gave me the harp mic, and that was a big turning point for me because I've never had a real harmonica microphone before. But from that point on, me and him became really good friends, and I was still going down to the ghetto clubs and everything, and I had my own group together by that time, but we're just playing house parties and, you know, just for friends, no real gigs or anything. And that really put me in the middle of blues, and I was just totally, totally in love with blues. This is around the time when all my friends were into rock music, but I was totally into blues, and they thought I was kind of crazy.
Including the great Hollywood Fats, Joel Foy, who was here with the James Harmon Band 2 years ago, and more currently Alex Schultz, who we saw last year with Rod Piazza. What qualities do you look for in a guitarist for your band?
Well, the number one quality I look for guitar players, they got to know how to back up the harp and to stay out of the way. You know, I mean, there's a way to sound great and also to stay out of the way of the soloist. And to me, Alex Schultz is my favorite guitar player to play with me anyway. I've got a young guy, he's only 21 years old, his name is Greg Virginio, and he's a real big Hollywood Fats fan, and he also plays great. And I'm real happy to have him with me.
And with Serious Intentions, it seems to me that there's been a conscious effort to mix things up a bit, different band lineups, playing some acoustic harp, a little bit of jazz, horns on a few cuts. Was that a conscious thing?
That was a real conscious thing.
Yeah.
Because I really believe that blues is got all kinds of different sounds to it. And see, for example, when I first started, I started out on guitar, playing country blues guitar, and I still play a little bit of it, but I'm not very good at it. But I was into people like Booker White and Lightnin' Hopkins. But then I'm also into horn players like Lockjaw Davis and Gene Ammons and jazz organists. And then I like the hardcore, Chicago blues too. And these are all my tastes, and so I kind of tried to present them on Serious Intentions, the different kind of blues that I enjoy myself.
I'm trying to stretch my money, yeah. No, it's hard, I got to try. Call with this bread that I'm making to make things so tough to buy. When I look all through the paper, cause the bargain is for me. Yes, I look all through the newspaper, the bargain is for me. I'm just trying to stretch my money and feed my family.
$15 suit and a $2 hat and a strip of 50 cents. Now I could go for that. Sound like I'm crazy, baby, but a bargain is my plan. I'm tired, so I do the best that I can. Trying to stash my money, baby, though it's hard, I got to try. I got to try.
That's William Clark, who unfortunately passed away just a few years after he appeared at Bluesfest. I was talking to him by phone back in 1993, and Bill passed in November of 96 at the age of only 45, but a great singer and harmonica player, and a very friendly guy as well. Well, we're halfway through this edition of Nothing But The Blues, and you can hear this all over Australia thanks to the Community Radio Network. I'm the Colonel, Mark Doherty, and I'm backing slowly out of the building. This is my second last show, but Nothing But The Blues will continue. Jules has been on the panel operating for the first half of the show, and now I've got Lynn in the chair. These two are going to be taking over the reins of Nothing But The Blues. Now, Lynn, you alerted me to the fact that this next artist, who has recorded his second album on Alligator Records, you saw him recently. What was that opportunity?
Yes, I was very lucky to see Selwyn Birchwood on a legendary rhythm and blues cruise about 2 weeks ago, going from San Diego down to Mexico. And really impressed. He's a young guy, but he has a small band, but a very powerful band of guys older than himself. And they told us something interesting, which is that apparently he took the Chicago Blues Festival by storm. He just had, I think they said, about half a mile of people going in front of the stage to watch him all at once.
Yeah. I can well understand that. I've never seen the guy, but just on the evidence of his record, the two records that he's recorded for Alligator, the lineup in his band is interesting. He's a vocalist and guitarist. He plays slide as well as regular guitar, as well as the standard rhythm section. He's got a guy playing flute and baritone sax.
Yes, it's a very impressive.
Yeah. So we're going to play two tracks from Selwyn's second album, which came out a little while ago. And this first one has a little bit of a Mississippi Hill Country drum and fife sort of sound to it. The track is called Trial by Fire. We'll come back and chat a little bit later, but here's some music from Selwyn Birchwood.
Yeah. say I just like the taste. I don't like no reefer except every day. I don't like the game, I just like to play. I don't care for strangers, but I dig the strange. And I don't know what else to tell you. Just guilty pleasures. They're just guilty pleasures. They're just guilty pleasures. They're just guilty pleasures. I don't like to gamble, I just like my luck. I don't like romance, I just love to love. I don't like the skin, but I just like what I see. I don't care for the pusher, but it gives me what I need. And I don't know what else to tell ya. They're just guilty pleasures. They're just guilty pleasures. They're just guilty pleasures.
So, Lynn, does that bring back memories of the cruise?
Yes. Oh, beautiful. Yes. About 2 o'clock in the morning.
Perfect time for blues. So that was Selwyn Birchwood, and the tracks were Trial by Fire and Guilty Pleasures. And I have played those in the past, but it's been a while, so it's good to hear that again. And wow, we're almost running out of time. We better crack on here. I think we're going to go straight to the Kim Wilson interview. So, as I said, folks, I'm indulging myself by going back into the archive, into the cassette archive, and pulling out some interviews from 25 years ago and focusing on harmonica players. Now, in 1996, the Fabulous Thunderbirds played at Blues Fest, and I had a chance to talk to the guys in the band, Kid Ramos, and especially Kim Wilson, a big hero of mine as a harmonica player. And this is actually an interview that I recorded by phone prior to the festival, and I had a good long chat with Kim, so I hope you enjoy it.
Hi, this is Kim Wilson of the Fabulous Thunderbirds, and you're listening to Nothing But the Blues on 4ZZZ. Don't touch that dial. Kind of trial and error, isn't it? Life, and I think this new record, I think it actually began with Walk That Walk, and then I did my two solo records, and that really got me in the frame of mind of how I wanted to hear this band, and how I could achieve how I've always wanted to hear this band, and then Danny Kortchmar really helped out in. Starting this thing off fresh. I think that finally, after all these years, we've begun to create music now, because the T-Birds, it's a combination of a lot of different kinds of music, a lot of different kinds of American music. You have blues, of course. You have rock and roll. You have soul. Cajun. Zydeco. A little bit of country, maybe, even. You know, I mean, after all those musics really go together. I mean, look how people like Albert King and Little Milton and James Cotton and Albert Collins combine soul and R&B with blues. Look how Chuck Berry and Bo Diddley and Guitar Junior with Lonnie Brooks combined rock and roll. Ron Holden. So it really all goes hand in hand. It's really just how you attack it.
I want to tell you a story. Not as I do. Won't do others as you wanna have done to you. If you don't wanna sing the lowdown blues, do as I say, not as I do.
I must say that as a songwriter, you do seem to have a knack for finding hooks that really stick in your mind. A lot of the songs that you've written, you know, when I hear them, the chorus just goes through my head for days afterwards. Is that something you have to really work at, or is it just something that comes out in the songwriting process?
Well, all the best songs, of course, experience is everything, you know. And I've always been kind of a late bloomer. I've always been a pretty decent songwriter when it came to finding new kind of twists in blues music or whatever music you're going for. But I've always thought that songwriting, and especially the hook part, which is really the most important part, it's something that it's just kind of an everyday saying, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of something that, you know, it spouts out of your mouth, like Don't Bite the Hand That Feeds You, for instance, which I think is a nice song. I've got several more verses to that, by the way, now.
Well, took you off the street, baby, put shoes on your feet. Took you off the street, darling, put the fine shoes on your feet. Yeah, sit you at the table and buy you some to eat.
Just interrupting Kim Wilson. Got to go, folks, but I'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. This is Mark D, the Colonel, and you've been listening to Nothing But the Blues. You can hear it all over Australia thanks to the Community Radio Network. In Brisbane, of course, it's on 4ZZZ, and you can get us online. Just do a web search for 4ZZZ, Nothing But the Blues. Back to Kim.
It was a hall where all the great musicians that I loved had played, you know. And they had an old black security guy who had every siren and antenna and floodlight, every weapon you can imagine, you know, and he had seen it all. You know, he'd been there the whole time, and he told us, he said, you just wait on time. Things are gonna get good for you. And after he said that, I sat there at the steering wheel. I was driving that night, and I was trying to write these words out while I was driving. So it's really just kind of an everyday thing. I think the best thing I can say about songwriting is, if it's work to you, then you're not going to come out with anything good. You know, if it's fun and you write because you enjoy it, you're going to come out with some nice stuff.
Well, I don't live like a king, and I don't drive a big car. The gypsy woman was right when she said I would go far. Just wait on time, baby, I'll be there one day. Yeah, and until I get there, baby, all I can do is hope and pray. Well, you say stick with me, baby, stick with me through thick and thin. I know someday, baby, my bad luck has got to end. Just wait on me, baby, I'll be there one day. Yeah, then until I get there, baby, all I can do is hope and pray.
Over the years, you've had a chance to play with a lot of the big names in post-war blues, and even to record with a few like Jimmy Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
Are there any in particular that stand out in your mind?
Well, I'll tell you something. That, what you're talking about, is the best thing in my life that's ever happened to me. You know, of course, Muddy Waters stands out huge, because me. He was like God for me, you know. But Muddy Waters was a huge influence on me. I would have to say I kind of associate these guys as part of my family, all of them. You know, I would have to say that Jimmy Rogers, Muddy would be the father. Jimmy Rogers would have to be the weird uncle who came in and had a bad influence on me. And, you know, Albert Collin was like a big brother. Luther Tucker was like a brother, you know, and, you know, they all have had such a huge influence on my life, just as how to be a human being. I've never met a bad person out of all those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the thrill, especially when you were a kid, of being on the bandstand. I mean, Eddie Taylor was the first one I ever got up with.
Yeah.
And that was unreal. You know, I mean, that to me was unreal. I was about 18 at the time, and 17, 18, something like that.
Just getting back.
And that was only a year after I'd started.
Wow.
And yeah, it was pretty wild. It was a really wild beginning. And people like Pee Wee Creighton and Lowell Fulson back then, and God, I mean, I've known, you know, it's just so sad. Really, it is. It makes me so sad. So my whole life revolves around not disappointing these guys. And my whole life also revolves around being one of them. All I want to do. That's what I want to do. I want to be, that is the peer group that I'm shooting for. I don't take myself so seriously that I don't have fun with it.
Mm.
And I have some very great memories of these guys. But if you don't think you can write your own page in tradition, in this music, then you don't belong there.
Yeah.
And that's the way I feel about it. Experience is a lot in this business, you know, in this music. And for me, you know, white kid, grew up in the suburbs, didn't have a lot of things, but had a lot more things than a lot of other people did. Really, I think what helped me become legitimate doing this music, and I'm very proud of that, was my love for the music and the desire to excel at it and the desire to get myself up there with all those old guys and see what they thought. All I wanted was a chance. And if it wasn't for those guys, I wouldn't have gone on with the music. If they hadn't encouraged me the way they did, I'm sure I wouldn't be at the level I'm at now.
Promise you'll be my man. Back, Sarah.